Lecture 12, The Art of War and the Logistics of Victory.
The last few lectures reviewed the political complexities and the unforeseen consequences of the use of military power in the Spanish Netherlands. The difficulties posed by the use of force are perhaps in some respects somewhat surprising, since there's a strong sense in which war was actually the raison d'etre of the early modern state. Most of its budget, most of the finances raised by early modern kings went towards fighting, towards the military machine, and indeed most of the institutional growth of the early modern state during the 16th and the 17th centuries was driven by the need to organize better systems of war finance. Now, this lecture is therefore going to take a closer look at the actual technical art of war itself. If war posed so many problems for an institution designed to fight wars, we need to look at war as a mechanical problem as well. European warfare was fundamentally transformed during the 16th and 17th centuries in Europe by a whole series of technical changes. At the most fundamental level, there was actually an important shift in the actual kinds of weapons used in the battle. During the Middle Ages, there had been a really complicated plethora of hand weapons, including various kinds of flails, maces, billhooks, and things like this. A lot of these were actually derived from agricultural implements of one kind or another. But during the 16th century, there was a radical reduction in the variety of weaponry on the battlefield, more or less to two. First of all, the pike, and second of all, the arquebus. I'd like to start with the pike, which is a very simple idea. It's a long spear, roughly 12 to 14 feet long. And ever since the 14th century, Europeans had been fairly well aware of the capabilities of the pike, at least as a defensive weapon. It was known that if you had a large body of pikemen who were quite tightly packed, that they were virtually invulnerable to attack by any other kind of formation, whether cavalry or infantry. And during the 15th century in particular, the use of this formation, these massed pike phalanxes, had been maximized above all by the Swiss. There was a kind of unit discipline, which was based on constant practice, and also the strong communal organization of Swiss rural and urban communities. And this allowed the Swiss to generate a certain kind of phalanx which could march in step. And for that reason, it could maneuver on the battlefield. It wasn't just a hedgehog which sat there waiting to be attacked. It could maneuver and attack on the battlefield with truly startling speed. And it's in no small part due to this kind of military formation that the Swiss cantons achieved a kind of de facto independence from the Holy Roman Empire during the 14th century. Indeed, the Swiss Confederation would grow quite substantially during the 15th and the 16th centuries. The emperors in Germany were always worried that the Swiss would keep encroaching on their southern territories. One of the largest exports, actually, of the Swiss Confederation was mercenaries. In fact, to this day, the Vatican's Swiss Guard comes from those same Swiss cantons which tended to export young men to fight as pikes. And indeed, if you'll look in Rome today, the Swiss Guard are still carrying halberds and pikes, although it's my understanding that submachine guns are kept in the umbrella stance. Now, that's the pike then. I'd like to move on to the arquebus, which is really not really a specific term, but it's a generic term for all hand firearms which are larger than a pistol. Hand firearms had been well known in Europe for quite some time, but for the first couple of centuries, their effectiveness was fairly limited. On the other hand, by the 1520s, a series of stunning Spanish victories over the French in Italy, also over the Swiss in Italy, in particular the battles of Bicocca in 1522 and the Battle of Pavia in 1525, made it obvious that there was a key vulnerability to the Swiss-style pike phalanx. That is to say, it was vulnerable to massed gunfire. The arquebus itself was roughly 4 feet long. There was no standardization. They varied. It weighed something like a dozen pounds, and it was fired by pulling a trigger which lowered a smoldering match into the priming pan. Now, these firearms, these 16th century firearms, did have an awful lot of drawbacks, it has to be said. They were prone to misfire. In fact, and sometimes you were lucky to get one shot off in two. They took an awful lot of time to reload. It took several minutes to reload an arquebus, and by comparison, if you had a longbow, you could get off perhaps 12 arrows in a single minute. Moreover, the arquebus was really quite inaccurate. At best, it could be used at something like 60 paces away. There's an interesting piece of advice by the English mercenary Robert Munro, who advises that gunners should never really aim any higher or any lower than the target's middle. You're not going to be picking off people in the head or anything like that.